Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorcinX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Damian. You can find on Twitter at Damian Johnson. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast and pretty much anywhere else at /reviewandroast as well. Our number one for today is the long-awaited, for me at least, Eternal Empire by Jonathan Luna and Sarah Vaughan. And our over-under is going to be free stuff. I was gonna swear, but I didn't. I just say stuff. Stuff.
Well, just to clarify, we're doing free stuff because yesterday was free comic book day. So.
Right. Well, I mean, I kind of figured, but it's definitely a good pick, and I'm surprised we've never done free stuff before because I feel like everyone loves free stuff. We're going to tell you why you shouldn't. Right? Right?
Depends on what free stuff we're talking about.
I know, right?
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
Let's see.
We did get free couches once, so that was pretty awesome.
That did happen. Actually, it happened to me twice, and I still have nothing but three free couches that were somebody else's at one point in time in my house.
Yeah, just check for rats with a knife, and if you're,
pretty much.
Come up empty, you're good.
Actually, I had a pretty, I'm going to go ahead and say I had a pretty great week. I mean, it didn't, obviously it was nothing special compared to anything else, but on Wednesday, I was like, you know what? I don't have nothing to fucking do, and I don't feel like reading. I'm just going to watch The Hateful Eight. So I had a whole night of, you know, what's his face? Kurt Russell goodness. Just to follow it up Thursday when we went to Guardians 2, where I had two nights in a row of Kurt Russell goodness. My goodness, this was a good week.
A low bar.
Well, spend a week in my shoes and you'll see why. But yeah, that was I didn't really do much of else this week. I, you know, read a handful of stuff, maybe. I don't think so, though.
All right.
We did, like I said, I did Hateful Eight, I did Guardians, and then Friday we did X-Wing again, practicing for our little stupid tournament we're doing here in a couple weeks. Other than that, I haven't done much else.
Let's see. I watched Lord of the Rings for the first time in a while.
Yep.
Saw Guardians as well. And on Wednesday? No, Tuesday. I made probably the best dinner I've ever made in my entire life. Which is not, like, I'm not necessarily a chef of any kind. But I made this chicken parmesan with grape tomatoes that turned out way better than I should be capable of.
So it wasn't like a microwave thing. Actually made it.
No, I made it. And it was amazingly good.
Chicky chicky parm parm.
So much. Don't say that. That's super weird.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, don't do that. Tom Haverford. No, I just, I hate leftovers. I ate the leftovers of this on Thursday because it was so good.
Now I want Italian.
It was an accomplishment for me.
Like, I guess we're going to Buca for lunch.
Well, I don't have that kind of
money.
I don't know. Yeah, that's about it. Fell asleep at my desk like 20 times.
That rules.
That sounds great.
And, I mean, it was super slow this week, so. Now I was going to ask, because you said something about your Facebook is going to kind of wind down for a while. Was there an event or just like a random, like, I'm sick of this crap?
Is the House voting on the healthcare bill? Passing the healthcare bill, I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's going to take up all my time yelling at idiots.
Oh, yeah. I got it from both sides.
I have way too much to do.
Yeah, I got it from both sides. And I didn't even really say much. I just basically shared a video basically saying, small victory is better than a giant disappointment. And then I got yelled at for like 20 minutes. I was like, all right, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, it was depressing. So that was a huge bummer. I mean, it's such a toxic bullshit bill that I'm sure the Senate's going to strip all the horrible things out of it, and it will maybe narrowly pass, and all the horrible stuff will be gone, and Trump will be able to put at least one win in his column because he hasn't got one yet, and that's all he cares about. And then they can move on, and then hopefully it'll cause enough outrage that what happened in 2010 will happen in 2018, and the Democrats will take the House, and we can start fixing some of this shit. But that's just insanely optimistic for someone who is very pessimistic.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, every decade, Republicans do something horrendous, and they get zero repercussions for them. So I'm just like, whoa.
It is crazy, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like Democrats are sitting here fighting each other over who's, like, vegan enough, you know?
Well, that was part of the fight I got in yesterday with somebody I used to know. Because, like I said, I just posted... It was the end of real time from Friday where Bill Maher was basically saying, after 100 days, did we really need to do this? And that's when I just said, you know, small victory. You know, Hillary Clinton, not the best, but, you know, at least, at the very least, it would have stayed steady for 4 years and then whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I got this, like, giant thing about, like, I hope she gets fucking cancer. And I was just like, okay, calm down. I know she's not, like, going to... This person, who shall remain nameless, thinks that there is an overnight revolution around the corner, and I hate to tell him, but get a job and you'll find out that's not ever going to happen. So you have to take the small victories where you can. It'd be awesome, but it's not going to happen because I don't have $50 billion to do that. So, and anyone who wants that also does not have $50 billion.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I'm... That's why I'm off Facebook. I'm not really off Facebook. I can use Messenger still. I just gave my best friend Shane access to my account and told him to change my password and not tell me what it is. So I just can't. I just can't log in now.
Wow, that's like some drastic measures. I've never heard that before.
I can't just get rid of it because every time I log into fucking Spotify, like it's like, oh yeah, hey, don't forget to log into Facebook again, and then I do, and then. You know, I get some notification or my mom posts something dumb and I'm just like, oh, I can't let this go. I just can't.
I gave up Facebook years ago and the only reason I signed back up was so that I could, like, share stuff for the stupid website and the comic roast and the podcast and all that shit. And that's 90% of the time, that's the only reason I go on there, and it's fantastic because I don't have it on my phone. I only check it when I'm extremely bored or I know I need to go share some stuff, but, like, have to imagine... me never really going anywhere, and I don't have friends all over the fucking country. It's probably not a big deal, but I'd imagine you probably keep in touch with a lot of people that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice.
I guess it's time to do more of the tweetings.
Yeah, I'm just... Twitter and Instagram are pretty best... the best ways to probably catch up with me anyway. Yeah. And I don't know. Facebook's just such a fucking negative, I don't know, thing for me. Some people probably get a lot of value out of it. Those days are just over for me. I don't really see... I see why it exists, and I was late to adopt it, and when I finally did, I was like, no, this is good. This is like a framework for what I think, you know, communications will be eventually, like, that it's just sort of this always thing happening. But then it got so curated, like, you know, you don't find out what, you know, of the people you're following, you don't get to find out what just happened to some of the people you're following. It, like, curates, like, the people you interact with most at the top of your page, and that's great, but I don't want that. Like, I'd rather just... I was doing it to kind of, like, almost like a tourist of humanity, just sort of, like, watch how things unfold at places that I maybe don't know about. And it's just, you know, anytime a company starts thinking they knows what's best for you, they always don't. So, I mean,
I agree.
They're always wrong, so...
Every time I do log in, the very first thing I do is I go to most recent stories, not the top stories, because I don't give a fuck about what happened 4 hours ago. I want to know what's going on right now.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking bananas.
Well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Facebook is great because it gives everyone a voice, but it's also terrible because it gives everyone a voice. So
yeah, and it's that whole thing, like, you know, if you're not paying for it, then you are the product, you know?
Yeah, and as far as, you know, even like what Bill Burr says, you know, when you just got a bunch of people who go on and they go to www.imright.com, they can find anything, any article, anything to back up their ridiculous ideas, and that's just fact to them. It's like, that's not how it works. Just because you found an idiot who thinks the way you do doesn't make that correct.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's just, it's a big mess, and the internet's great, but the internet's terrible. Bias.
People on the other side of that argument would say the same thing in reverse, so.
Right, I know, but, you know, and again, I'm not trying to start a whole podcast on this, but, like, when you got seemingly one side who takes their arguments from the science community and the journalists and stuff like that, and you get the other guys who say, well, this blogger and this YouTube guy said this. Like, okay, it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't.
Yeah, he only has 10 followers because the government's trying to silence his voice.
Right. No,
it's...
exactly.
No, it's that's not how it works.
You know, and that's how a friend of mine, I'm not going to, again, not naming names, but, you know, a while back, he was like, hey, you should check out some articles by this guy and this guy, because I think we could have some really neat discussions about what's going on. And so I looked the guy up, and, like, the first 10 things about him, hey, racist blogger says this. And I'm like, all right, yeah, you already lost me. There's no way we're going to talk about this.
Just to kind of encapsulate this real quick, there was a similar conversation with another person who said, hey, you should check this guy out if you want to get an alternative view. And I looked this person up, and not only was this person, you know, vitriolic as can be, but also he did the biggest no-no in all of journalism, independent blogging or otherwise. He cited a source. So I checked that source, and that source was himself. I was like, you can't cite your own YouTube page as a source for accurate information. That is completely not how that works. That's like playing a board game.
I'm just saying, I said it happened. So.
That's like playing a board game by yourself and saying, oh, guess what? I just won. Well, yeah, because you didn't play against anybody. You played nobody, so you're going to win either way. Can't do that. I mean, you can. Actually, that's kind of fun. I've done it before.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are the modern-day snake oil salesmen, and where people aren't really buying a product. They're buying, like, a feeling of satisfaction. Like, they're like, oh, you know, this is great. So he can go ahead and do something as blatant as quoting himself as a source, because someone's going to be like, oh, there's a source on this article. Great. Like, the majority of people aren't going to bother checking because everyone's too busy. There's too many shows to watch. There's too many games to play. There's too many conversations to have. Too many books to read. There's too many people on the world producing things. There's just not enough time for everyone to be thorough about everything. So that's why it's important to find sources that have been generally, you know, reputable, like something like New York Times or something, even though they've obviously had issues, like that reporter Glass in the past or whatever. But, you know, you find someone who's relatively, you know, reputable, and just put a little, you know, a little confidence in that person, not necessarily faith. I would hate using that word, but yeah. So it's, but these people, they'll like I said, the IamRight.com or whatever, they'll sit there and they'll scour for that confirmation bias they want to hear. It's like, I know the earth's flat. I mean, I know they're trying to hide it. So what can I find out there that proves that? And they can go ahead and find some guy who's like, you know, I know a guy that works for NASA, and actually it is flat. And I was like, what? Dude. No, this is what you're spending your time on.
We should totally start a YouTube channel to put the information out there. Like, for instance, with the earth is flat, we'll just film me out in the driveway with a level on the ground. Like, dude, look at that. Look at that. It is level. The earth is obviously flat. Just every stupid thing they have, we come up with the most asinine, like, proof.
I guarantee it. It's like those guys who do those yellow news sites who kind of did them almost as jokes, where they're like, you know, it turns out Obama is, you know, a four-armed reptilian person. And they're like, oh my God. And they get like a million hits and they start making like $200,000 a month off these websites.
I'm just saying.
Where they're clearly making stuff up. Yeah, we could totally do something.
I don't want to go to work anymore, so I say we do this.
Maybe I don't hate it that much.
Right? Maybe the next Alex Jones is.
He's got the documents.
But yeah, besides that, this week, besides getting angry at the world and quitting Facebook this week, we'll see how long that lasts. Hung out with my kids, worked on letterpress stuff a lot, and did Free Comic Book Day yesterday.
Ditto for a few minutes.
I was there
for a while. I don't know if we talked before the show about the line, but I walked into the store, and this is the first Free Comic Book Day I went to since my store has moved up north.
Right.
To like a more suburban area.
Wasn't that only a few months ago?
That they moved?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly when it was. I think I want to say it was like in October or something. But this is their first Free Comic Book Day they did there. And, you know, before they had a smaller space, and they'd bring the free racks like out into the parking lot, and you could just kind of get all that stuff there. So if you didn't feel like going in, it wasn't a big deal. And they'd always have like beer and artist signing and whatever inside. It was a lot of fun. This one was like, they're in like a more of a suburban area now, which is like families, lots of kids. They have like a big kids comic section now. And it just wasn't that same kind of vibe, but it was still a lot of fun. But yeah, I walk in and there's a giant line. I was like, fuck, is this the line to like grab free comics? They're like, no, this is the line to pay. Like, if you want to pay. And I had both my kids there. I was like, well, okay, let's do it. But we were able to, they wanted everyone to limit to five free comics each. And you know, it was fine because there was about five that I was interested in, and of those five, there's probably only one that I thought was kind of lame. So,
nice.
Yeah,
Usually I go, and the free stuff is all pretty much terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's all. I mean, the stuff that was good that I got was free. It was all kind of previews, you know.
Right.
Like for other stuff. So, I mean, I guess I'll tell you real quick. This one right here. I got that Inkle, that George Orowski and Mobius comic from like the 70s. Yeah, I read that last night. And I was like, God, this is great. Like, I'm gonna totally check this out. So I'm gonna probably pick up that the graphic novel. I've never read it before. And Drawn and Quarterly had two free comics, or maybe I might have more, but there's two that I grabbed. One was Colorful Monsters, and it was like Moomin Troll and Kitaro, and just like four different artists doing kind of like cute drawings, and it was freaking adorable. And I liked that quite a bit. And then I'd seen this graphic novel around, but they had a little preview of the graphic novel called Hostage. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
No.
It's about a guy who, during like the Chechen War, was held hostage, and he did a comic about his experience, and the cover is him just like chained to a radiator sleeping on like a mat.
I didn't see that yesterday.
Yeah, and so it's cool. Like, and then there's another there's a preview of another graphic novel coming out called Poppies of Iraq, which is about a girl who grew up in Iraq during the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It looks interesting, kind of, you know, Persepolis kind of, I can't say the word, but kind of vibe, but really, you know, beautiful art, and it's great. So those are really awesome. Also got a Rick and Morty, which I realized I think I'd already read before, and it's fine. I just missed the cartoon.
And then it's not on anymore?
I hate. No, it's on. It's gonna be a while till the next season. They did a April Fool's new episode, actually, that was amazing. And then I got I Hate Image, Scotty Young thing, and I didn't really care for it.
Yeah, I grabbed the Inkle thing, and I grabbed Secret Empire because I don't know why. And then there was another one from Z2 Books. I don't know. It's like kind of a newer company. I thought, nah, maybe that's all right. But I went there for specifically one thing, and then I looked and saw it was gone, and I'm like, well, I really don't need comics right now because I bought a lot at C2E2, so I think I'll just go to the Gaming Goat instead.
Yeah, when I went to on Thursday to get my stuff, I stopped in on the way to Guardians, so my time was limited anyway. But like, I went in to get my books, and they're like, "Oh, by the way, you won more games at International Tabletop Day, so let me go and grab them and see which ones you want." I never looked at anything on the shelves. I did that. I went back to see what Jeff was doing. I looked at some ships. We left. I'm like, man, I don't even look at any books. I'm like, that's good though, because I'm not trying to spend my money, but. You know, that was kind of... So I guess next week I'm going to have all kinds of cool stuff to look for.
Nice.
The only thing I want is that Batman and the Shadow thing that's out now. That looked pretty cool. But no, I couldn't... I had a weird feeling because we went to Tabletop Day last weekend. It was busy. And for some reason I got in my head that like nobody goes to Free Comic Book Day anymore. That's kind of not a thing. Well, I was super wrong. I was so amazingly packed yesterday. I couldn't believe it.
And it was nuts.
Yeah, and I went early thinking, like, yeah, there'll be a ton of stuff. Like, probably half the stuff was already gone by the time I got there, and I had a good 9 hours to go, so.
Jeez.
And the weird thing is I saw a lot of people who normally don't go, and I got the weird feeling that a couple of the women in there were teachers grabbing anything they can get their hand on, and they were going to bring them to school and just hand them out.
Oh, that could be. That's actually a cool idea.
Because I saw something about, like, schools sending out alerts for Free Comic Book Day, encouraging kids or encouraging parents to bring their kids to grab free reading material. So, I mean, I don't know why I got the feeling that a couple of the women there were actually school teachers and not there because they're like, oh my God, Spider-Man.
Yeah. That's a neat idea. I like that.
I think that's why the lines have been getting crazy lately, last couple of years, because I think they're pushing it in the grammar schools now.
All right, so do we want to do the number one?
I didn't read it, so go nuts.
You didn't read it.
I didn't know we had it. I must have missed the conversation or something. I saw it on your Instagram today. I was like, oh shit.
Oh. Well, you know what? I mean, technically, it was Chris's pick. He's not with us today. We can skip it and do it next week.
Yeah, we can just do two number ones next week. Cause that way,
okay.
Chris can that avoid way, being mad.
Yeah, that way he, because I don't really, I was kind of hoping that one of you were going to explain it because I don't feel like talking right now. But saves us the time. Okay, so sorry. We'll just skip right through that. And
well, yeah, we could tell everybody what it is just so they know.
Well, I did it at the beginning of the show.
Oh, I'll tell them again.
Eternal Empire number one. So now you know a week in advance. Go pick it up. Go read it. And then you can tell us what you think. And we'll talk about it next week.
Sarah Vaughn, Jonathan Luna, on Image.
Yeah.
Creators of Alex and Ada. There you go.
We sucked them in.
Now they're intrigued. You're like, dun, dun, dun. Next week's going to be the best episode ever.
That actually works out because I actually want to read it again before we do it. Because I could not have been happier with Alex and Ada. So I've been looking forward to this book for months. So I literally just read it 5 minutes before we started this. So I would like to take it all in again, I guess. You know what I mean?
All right.
Sweet. Over under. Over under it is. Over under is going to free stuff. Free stuff. Show about comics. We just talked about Free Comic Book Day because that was yesterday. As far as I'm concerned, overrated are the free comics you get on Free Comic Book Day, because I don't know what your store gives away. Our store gives away the free stuff that has Free Comic Book Day printed on it, and then they sometimes will throw like shit they can't get rid of on the pile. And I can go through my stacks and stacks of books here on the table and pull out probably every free comic book I've ever gotten in my life, and I have not read one that I was like, oh hell yeah, you know what I mean? It's always like I don't even grab them anymore, and when I do, I would go and grab them for my nephews, but they don't give a shit about comics anymore, so now it's like I have no reason to come outside of the sale.
Right.
But if the line is going to be 200 feet long, like I don't need to wait that long for $10 off of my game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and some asshole bought my game since last weekend. So
right.
Now
so
I
if
wait.
You're listening, return that shit.
I don't want a used copy of Islebound. I want a brand new one because I'm stupid.
This is true.
Yeah, I almost bought Ticket to Ride yesterday, but I just didn't want to spend too much money. I was spending $50 on books for the kids and myself.
If I may, I recommend getting anything other than the America version if you buy it, though.
Okay.
Because the America version is like the simplest possible. I mean, it's a good game, but when you play the other ones where it has like more of the variables, it's way more fun and way more like, oh. Like God, I hope that guy doesn't see that thing because I want it.
This is true. I keep forgetting about that. America doesn't have the tunnels and the wilds and the train stations and all that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I bought it for $12 brand new, so I got a deal. If I had to pay $50 and I remembered all that, I'd be like, God damn it, there goes groceries. Anyway, my overrated is taking on another person's burden, which kind of piggybacks on your thing where they just throw out all the stuff they can't sell. And it's not just a Free Comic Book Day thing. Like every time now, like free stuff used to be like, yeah, free. And now it's like, what are you giving me exactly? Is this stuff expired? Like someone gives you like, hey, you have some free bread. And you're like, oh, cool. And in 10 minutes you look at it, you're like, oh, this expired back in January and it's May. Oh, now I got to find a place to dispose of this refuse. So I don't know. Now every time somebody gives me something for free, I'm always skeptical. Like, what are you trying to get rid of here?
That would make sense. My my free thing is that I guess it's all kind of the same. I mean, I don't value anything that's really given to me for free generally. Like even if it's something really cool, like I feel weird that it's I feel like I'm obligated to keep it because it was given to me.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, I don't really value it. It like as if I had paid money for it. Like as if I'd traded hours of my life for this thing. Like. So it's weird. I mean, I got a friend of mine gave me his guitar, almost all of his guitar equipment recently because he's like, I'm quitting playing music. So Whoa. He gave me like a head and a half stack and like that and some pedals and stuff. And I was like, this is awesome. And I do value them because I know they're valuable and I actually like them and want to play them. But at the same time, like, I can't sell them because they're given to me. Like, I would feel gauche, I think, to like sell something that was just given. He gave it to me because he thought I would use it.
Right.
And I was like, oh, and I even said, like, I was like, well, don't worry, I won't sell anything. He goes, oh, you can sell it if you want. I mean, whatever's in use to you is fine with me. I just want, to know that I'm giving it to someone who needs it for some reason. So you can sell it if you want. Even that, I was like, yeah, that's nice of you to say, no, I can't sell it. Like, that's crazy.
I agree, because he could have sold it and kept a couple $100 himself. So, I mean, yeah, that's a really weird scenario. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm very thankful. But at the same time, like, the level in which I feel connected to it is, there's like a block between me and it now. It's not something I feel like I'm, I mean, maybe that that'll change in time, because I definitely am not selling it.
Well,
but
you're probably
a caretaker of it now, less of the owner.
Right, because you're probably the same mindset or as I am, where if somebody gave me all their shit like that, and then like 6 months later, like, yeah, can I get that back? I'm like, absolutely. I'm just holding it for you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I get that's a really weird spot.
Yeah, it's Mark from Undertow, the guitar player. He's like, I'm done playing live music. I want to just give away all my stuff to all my friends. He gave his guitars away to people, all his pedals. He kept like one Marshall practice amp and like a tuner and a guitar, like his favorite guitar. That's all, like, all he kept. He gave everything else. He had all that like extra equipment he bought when he was back in shift, when they gave him like, you know, here's $20,000, go have fun. Where he bought a bunch of shit. Like, you know, he's like, I've done a lot of stuff and made a lot of records, and I'm just done being in bands, so I just want to give it to my friends who are still in bands. I was like, well, that's really awesome. It feels super weird, but it's really awesome.
Yeah, that is kind of neat. I like it.
Yeah, but like I said, I have this I have this stuff now that I feel like I'm on edge around it. Like, any minute Mark could want this back, and I would absolutely give it to him.
Like, you're like, it's looking at you like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know.
He's installed cameras to make sure you keep it all.
This is all super uncomfortable.
Like, dude, you know, I totally broke
GPS
one of your
tracking
strings
on that head I gave you, and it seemed to be in Idaho. Are you in Idaho?
I didn't know you guys were on tour. Nope. Yep. Like, tour and potatoes. Let's do this.
You're changing in front of it, and all of a sudden you hear, keep going. You're like, what was that?
Yeah, I thought they could only watch you through your microwave. But
it's only Kellyanne Conway's microwave that they can do that. She's got an awesome microwave, though. We got a poor person's one.
Yeah, right. I think a camera costs more than my microwave, so I think I'm good. Let's see. Underrated. Might sound a little silly because it's kind of in the same vein, but it's not. Hear me out. When you are a PlayStation Plus member, you get 2 free games every month on any PlayStation device you have, whether it be PS3, PS4, PS Vita, whatever the handheld ones are now. So I'm going to say I don't always download them. When I remember to, I go on and I download them, and a lot of times they're just eh. You know what I mean? But sometimes you get some free games that are kind of cool. And here's the difference. It's kind of the same thing as the comic books, except this doesn't take up any physical space. If I download that game and it sucks, I just delete it and I'm done with it. You know what I mean? Like, or if I'm running out of room, which I won't do because I've installed a bigger hard drive in my PlayStation. But if I ever needed the space, you can always just delete it. And then if you ever want to play it again, delete something else and re-download it. Because once you download it, it's on your account forever. It's kind of a neat thing with digital. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to do free comic book day and make me feel good, do it on my Kindle. That way I don't have to stack all these stupid books I'm never going to read. And then I feel bad throwing away because they're good, but I don't know anyone that wants them because, you know what I mean? It's just, it's frustrating because you can't sell them. I don't want to throw them away because what's the point? So it's like, what do you do with them at that point? You know what I mean? Like,
you said you know what you mean. You know what I mean? Like 20 times.
I know, because I'm just, you know what I mean.
I think I got it.
I hope so.
I think I know what you mean.
You got the point? Because you know what I mean.
I do.
Claro.
All right. My underrated is raffles. And again,
I like free waffles too.
Circling back to International Tabletop Day, the first time I went to one of the events for that day, I won the grand prize. And I never really participated in raffles before. I never really cared. I don't play the lottery. I don't do any of that stuff because I feel like that dollar could have been better spent on combos or nachos or something. But when I won the grand prize, combo nachos, like combo stuffed into nachos or nacho flavored. Oh my God. That's like the full circle thing though. But I just felt like, I was like, oh my God, I feel like a winner for the first time in my entire life. And every single year that I go and I enter the raffles for whatever they're giving away, and I don't win, I get super upset because I'm like, now I know what it's like to be a winner. And I hate not being a winner because it feels like life all before. So winning a raffle, even if you win like a medium-sized prize, is like so satisfying. It feels like you earned it. You really didn't earn it, but it feels like you earned it. So like raffles are great, especially when you don't have to pay any money to be in them. That's when free stuff is the best.
I like it.
Yeah, it's like you ever like get upgraded to first class for no real reason.
Nope.
And then I had a girlfriend who did all the travel for like this elite law firm she worked at, so she got all the miles, and so every time we'd fly, we basically got to fly business or first class.
That's nice.
We used to fly a lot, and I was like, this is amazing. And then when we broke up, I had to start flying coach again. It was like being in prison. It was the worst.
I mean, I have to assume that's amazing because I've actually never been on a plane.
You never been on a plane?
Nope.
Me neither.
Wow. It's actually not. I kind of hate flying because it's an entire day on either end, like the leaving and coming back. It's an entire day wasted no matter what time you fly. Like if you fly late at night, then you don't really get to sleep really. And then wherever you land, you have to basically catch up on your sleep, or you have to like live in that weird fog of not having slept a day before you finally get to sleep.
Yeah.
So you don't really get to enjoy that day. Or if you leave like in the middle of the day, then yeah, you got up early, you got your stuff together, you got trekked to the airport, you waited in line for 2 hours because you got to get through 2 hours early now. And then you hang out at the airport all day and then you fly, which that part's always scary. I don't care what anyone says, it's scary.
That's part of why I haven't done it, because I'm like, you can like crash in a car, but then you're like 3 feet from the ground, but you can crash in an airplane and that's not gonna be awesome at the end, so that would suck.
Yeah, it would. I mean, at least it's gonna sound weird, like at least you're pretty much guaranteed to like, you know, like this is it. Like you're not gonna be like, oh god, I hope I'm not like, you know, eating out of a straw the rest of my life. I mean, it's more like you could be fit into a straw after this. but you know, me and my family fly, not often, but you know, pretty often, and it's we've never had any problems. But it is, to me, it is the worst thing. It's just that entire day on either end is just gone. It's just a weird day of like being, you know, just disoriented basically for 24 hours. But flying. Anyway, yeah, having to fly, going from first class for free and then going to coach is, and I think Seinfeld did a joke about it once, but it is like, it's pretty rough. When you fly coach, you think like, this isn't...
Look at all these poor pieces of shit.
Well, you just think like, this didn't cost money, right? You were paid to fly this, right? Like the plane needed people in it to be flown, so you took the free money to get into coach. Because it's like a step above being the luggage. And these new planes they made are like the seats are even smaller. It's to the point where it's like they're aggressively small. And I'm a big guy, but I'm not that big of a guy. And you also have to realize like if your flight's like five hours, you're basically immobile for 5 hours.
Ugh.
Like you can't straighten your legs out all the way. And my knees are all messed up. And if I don't straighten them out, like they get super painful. Like I can't like straighten them every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's awful.
The closest I came is I took the bus from Newark, New Jersey to Chicago once, and that was also nearly 24 hours on a bus, staring at nothing, in a seat that was, as you said, aggressively small. And when you're sitting next to somebody who's almost sitting on top of you rather than next to you, it's like, oh, man. I am not going to make it. Like, I feel like when Bill Burr does the whole thing, like, oh my God, I'm not going to make it. That's how I felt the entire ride. And it was at night, too. So I left Newark at like 9:30, got to New York City, had to sit there for an hour and a half in this musty train station or bus station. It was a Penn Station, actually, but it was like down below. So it was even just like, I felt like the rats were just like not even running around. They're just like sitting there like, so what's going on? You guys going to do stuff? And I was like, oh, this is the worst. Like, why would you be here for any reason? And then from there, it was off to Buffalo. So that was 10 hours. And then from Buffalo to Cleveland. And that was another musty bus station, except above ground. And I was like, oh, God, I feel like I'm in a horror movie right now. So happy to get back to Chicago. I'm like, I'm never going anywhere again.
Yeah, I hear you, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, if you're going to be on a Greyhound bus, make sure it's 45 minutes or less. just go to the mall, come back, and just call it a day. So I'm imagining that's what a plane is like, except in the sky.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain planes, like you fly Virgin or something like that, it's actually pretty comfortable, and they're nice, and they give you stuff, and you don't feel, you know, like, you don't feel like a total piece of crap, but most of the time, it's pretty awful. Like, Frontier Airlines lost my guitars for 6 months once when I came back from a tour.
Jesus.
They're just gone. They were just like, sorry, they're just gone. I was like, what? And I just accepted that, like, all of my... And I brought both guitars with me when I went to Europe, and when I came back, they're gone. And I was like, well, I guess I just don't play guitar anymore. Like, I had, like, one more backup at home that was this terrible guitar that I used for those months, and I just was like, well, I guess I gotta work another job and save up more money for these freaking Les Pauls that cost me, like, you know, $2,000.
They aren't, like, insured or something?
No. I'm not that smart.
No, I mean, not saying that, like, you, but that the airline should cover that, I would feel.
Something. Well, they you know, they have, like, a period of time, I think, that it's still, like, an active search. And 6 months later, I got a postcard in the mail saying, we'll have your guitars delivered to you in the next couple of days. We found them. They were at the airport that I took off from. Like, there was, they didn't go anywhere. They actually never got on the plane. They just sat in the luggage area. The cases were, like, destroyed. Like, the guitars inside were fine, though, but... It's like they used them to, like, prop up trucks for 6 months.
Wow.
That is so weird.
Yeah, I was really sad. They were like, well, we can give you some free flights. I was like, why would I ever fly on your airline again? You guys are really bad at one of the main things. What else are you awful at?
You're like, why is that wing flapping back? Don't worry about it.
Just get out. We got tape. We taped it up.
All of a sudden, some guy closes the window from the outside, just tapes it shut. He's like, yeah.
You guys are good.
Is that a gremlin? Just keep looking forward.
That's Mike. He's Union.
Why are there pedals in front of me? If you don't pedal, this plane will go down, sir.
Thank you for flying Frontier.
It's like, what year is this?
Yeah, fucking Orville's piloting the plane.
You know the toasters have advanced over time, right?
Right.
Oh, man, I don't think I came up with my overrated. What's great about free stuff? I was ranting, and I'm like, oh wait, this isn't about what's good about free stuff. This is what's terrible about riding a coach.
Oh, you said the best thing was when you get upgraded to business class for free.
Okay, yeah, let's say that's the good part because that is great. I mean, it is a whole other line up there, man. I mean, it's like the air smells better, the light's brighter, you see more colors.
Wasn't it awesome.
Tom Segura?
I was gonna say, wasn't it Tom Segura said he was in coach and then he got upgraded and somebody tried to talk to him on his way up there and he goes, don't talk to me.
Yeah, that's what I said. Look at all these poor pieces of shit. And don't try to come up when I'm in first class to use the bathroom. I'll put my hand on your chest. You got a trough back there for you. If you've never watched that, you need to watch Tom Segura completely normal, I think it is.
It's on one of them.
It's on that one, and then the other one is mostly stories. That's the one we talked about Mike Tyson. But, yeah, if you've never seen Tom Segura stand up, I highly recommend it.
I believe I have, but I'll look for more because, yeah, I seem to remember that guy being funny.
Yeah. Let's see. So I guess we're moving to best thing ever. I'm actually going to go with last week's International Board Game Day because it was just awesome. We got to meet some really awesome people. We played some awesome games. I won two games. Well, one game and three expansions. And I bought a new game that I haven't played yet, but it was just a great day.
I agree. I'll keep it simple and double that one because that was a lot of fun. And the Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol, I've been reading the first volume of the newly released soft covers, and it is as great as it's been touted to be. Like, I am super enjoying that thing.
Did we lose you?
Oh, here, I'm here. Sorry, I was on mute.
Oh. No, I just, like, I'm at the... I'm just past the Scissor Men, and... what else? The Jack the Ripper part with the butterflies. That was amazing. What else? Oh, I can't remember how far. I'm like halfway through each book is like 500 pages. I'm like halfway through the first one right now. It's just super good. Super weird. Totally amazing.
Yeah, at the time those things are being made too, there's nothing else like that. I mean, outside of like really you know, absurdist underground comics. Like, that was like a whole new world. Like, Grant Morrison is really fucking strange.
Yeah, this thing really illustrates that. And it's weird because they make reference to Superman and the Flash every so often, and it's just like, this has no ties to that world other than the fact that they just mentioned that that person exists in that world.
Yeah, it's I always found that really interesting. I wonder how many like times people would do that on purpose, or if that was like asked of them, like, hey, could you, you know, make sure you include it, that it's like, it's in the same, you know, canon as like Batman and stuff. Like, I wondered if that happened, because yeah, there is a lot of mentions in some of those really strange comics where all of a sudden, like, Superman's on board for a minute, and you're like, what the fuck?
I think I'm at the part where, what is it called, like, the Brotherhood of Dada?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, I love this thing so much. Because it's complete nonsense, and it's so great, and I don't even see how they qualify as superheroes. Like, that one character, Crazy Jane, she's got, like, 8 different personalities, and then they're being attacked by the Scissor Man, and Cliff's like, Jane, you gotta help us, and she's like, Jane's not here right now. I'm making pancakes. It's like, I don't know what the heck's going on, but this is so good.
Are you reading the new ones still?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm enjoying those, too. I believe Jane is in one of the most recent ones.
I haven't read the newest one I have, but, like, some of the absurd stuff in the new ones are starting to slowly make a little bit of sense to me, because, like, I'm seeing those characters and those things referenced in the new ones appear in this one, and I'm like, oh, that's where that's from. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Danny the Street thing is just such a crazy idea, and I love that, you know, the Gerard Way guy, like, really ran with that whole Danny character, because he's so great in those Grant Morrison Doom Patrols.
Such
a strange character.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten there yet, but I keep looking for him. Like, is this where he is? No, not yet. Okay, settle down. All right, calm down. Wait, where are we? No, not yet. But I just like the fact that they're superheroes, and, like, they do no superheroing at all. At least not yet.
No. There's just lots of, like, dealing with absurdities that are more absurd than them, but somehow very dangerous.
Yeah, and I think all Cliff Steele does is go, everybody, look! And that's pretty much, like, his thing.
He's the canary in the coal mine for him.
Yeah, and his jaw constantly falls off for some reason.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's super good. You totally got a steal for $5 that one day when I...
You got the steal. I got it for free.
You did. See, free stuff.
Free stuff's great.
Yeah. Yay, free stuff.
Circling the wagons.
My best thing ever? You know, it's been a real fucking weird few weeks here. Moving out of my place, I think, now, finally. I think this might have been the last rent check I'm going to pay here. It's just like they demoed the apartment upstairs and they ruined the plumbing, so we didn't have hot water for a day. And then when they brought the hot water back, all the plumbing upstairs started to leak and started pouring water into our apartment down below.
Jesus.
Filled up the wall behind my daughter's bed with water. It started leaking, like seeping through the wall. The whole thing has just been a disaster, and I'm just done with that. But my family has been so cool about this whole thing and not like adding to my stress at all that it's been, I mean, I guess just my family being super cool about all the bullshit that's going on around us has been kind of the best thing ever. Like, we're super excited tonight. We're going to play Pandemic and try to beat that stupid game because it's so hard.
Did you buy the regular one or did you buy the Legacy one?
I don't know. There was like a million of them on the table and we just bought one of them. I think it's just the regular one.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to look at it from here, but I can't see it. I don't want to walk all the way across the room.
Do you play with everybody or just your daughters?
My wife and both daughters.
Oh, nice.
So you... 4 players. We're trying to figure out the best strategy. Last time we played, we kind of let South America sort of burn. And then, but we, you know, basically eradicated everything else. We're like, now let's get over there. And then we got like basically chain reaction of pandemics that just sent that little counter all the way to death, you know?
Yeah. It happens. Once you guys nail it though, it's going to get easier and easier. And then you're going to be like, well, but until you get to that point, it's definitely a challenge.
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe we played it wrong.
We did the first time we did, but you know we did once you figure out the best way to do things, it gets pretty easy. Seemingly, who knows? But hey, I like to hear that you're gaming with your family, and I'm slightly jealous. So
it's awesome. It's sometimes playing like more sophisticated games with a 7 year old can be a little tough because I want her to like make her own decisions. I want to tell her what to do, and sometimes they're crazy decisions. So, all right, cool.
Yeah, you know, at that point you just got to be like, you know what, chances are we're not going to win, but I'm here. You know, that's like, well, yeah, the other day when we were playing X-Wing, it was me, Jeff, and Chris, and Chris is, changing the station and headbanging and running around, and Jeff's like, I just want to fucking play, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, relax, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a fucking game, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to always be super serious time, you know what I mean? Like, who gives a shit? Just have fun.
Yeah, and sometimes really fun things can come out of, like, crazy stuff. Like, you have some Leroy Jenkins moments, you know, with board games.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, if there's a reason you need to be super serious, then yeah, okay, fine, tone it down. But like, who cares if you're just sitting around having a good time? Let the silly decisions happen.
Well, like when we went to the tabletop thing last week, I ended up playing this game called Clank with this guy Chris and this woman who's probably about my mom's age, maybe a little younger or maybe a little older, depending. But she's probably in her 60s. The whole thing of the game is you have to go into the dungeon, get as much treasure as you can, and get out before the dragon kills you, and you try not to die. And if the first person gets out of the castle before you get out of the underground, you are stuck down there and you lose all your points. So I saw that the one guy, he already knew how to play, so he's already on his way out towards the exit. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to die down here. Screw this. So I followed him, and she's like, you're a wuss. Oh, my God, I can't believe you're doing that. And I'm like, I'm getting shit-talked by, like, a 65-year-old woman. But again, you know, just having fun. It was just weird to be... I've never had that happen to me in my entire life. A woman who could easily be my mom basically saying that I'm a complete wuss. I mean, I think she used stronger words than that, but... And she also told me I was terrible as the banker as well, because I was controlling the money in that game. And she's like, you're really bad at this, you know? And I'm like, all right. Maybe she was just messing around, but still, pretty funny.
Snap. When are we game with her again? That's right, because I did tell her that I would give her money or something if she made you cry or something. Something like that.
She was trying. She was definitely trying.
Well, there you have it. That is our show for the week. Don't forget to tune in next week when we will do Eternal Empire and some other fun stuff. And Chris will hopefully be done cutting the grass by then, and he'll be back. So until then, you can find me on Twitter at XOverSonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Damien at Damien Johnston. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/reviewandroast. On Instagram at instagram.com/reviewandroast. Or /Star Wars Tabletop. Or /TheComicRoast. Or... just hashtag that shit, son. You'll find it everywhere. Other than that, we're done. So have a good week.